Good afternoon, church. Hi, kids. You're looking fabulous. It's good to be here. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, good afternoon and welcome. And for those of you who are joining us streaming, hi and welcome. Guys, go ahead and wave. We're a good church, and there's a camera somewhere, so make sure you're smiling, yeah? Today is a special day, and I am sure that most of you are aware of why this is a special and unique kind of day. Can anybody guess why? Oh, I'll give you a hint. Starts with a B and ends with an Allentine. Did you guess? It's Valentine's Day. Yeah, it's quite unique today. It's Valentine's Day. And for some of you hopeless romantics, you have known this since last Valentine's Day, that today would be Valentine's Day. Because you, this is what you live for, and you probably barely slept last night because you have been planning to wake up and to do what hopeless romantics do on a date like today, Valentine's Day, right? It's like a second Christmas for you. You receive and you give and you love, right? That, and it's a really good excuse to eat chocolate. Although if you ask me and Pastor Chris, we think that every day is a really good excuse to eat chocolate. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get an amen? That's fine. More chocolate for me. It's good. So long as you breathe, so long as you should be enjoying chocolate. So you do have permission to do that. I've heard alternate names for this festive time of the year. Some of you might know what that is. My favorite, though, is Singles Awareness Day. Mercy. Right? But I think that's great. I think it's hilarious, as if those who are single need to be reminded that they are single. So the awareness only comes once a year, apparently. Lord have mercy. Anyways, so we all have these different kinds of days without identifying this time. This year, I am glad to say that I have a handsome date waiting for me this afternoon, and it is this guy right here. Ah! His name is Mosley, a little 7-month-old puppy. He's so cute. Okay, it might not be a romantic afternoon, but it will be one full of love. I know this very well. But a holiday like Valentine's Day is really quite unique. For some people, it really is a time to celebrate. And for other people, well, not so much. But I think that what we can deduce from both the love and the hate for this kind of holiday is that we are social creatures. And that we long to belong. Very similar in what you heard in Shane's poem, we long for something more. We have these bodies that feel and that desire and that long for something, and the majority of the time longing for someone. Paul, as we have been studying in the book of 2 Corinthians during the series, identifies that yes, we do have these bodies, these physical bodies, but even more so, that each and every one of us is a body. Our bodies, Paul refers to as our bodies as these earthen vessels, these clay pots that are breakable, that are finite. We are fragile. And yet, even in our state of finiteness and fragility, Paul reminds us that we, these clay pots, we contain treasures that carry the very Spirit of God. So each of us, we are containers of salvation. Each of us a body, we have been saying, all of us together a body. Together, we are a well body, and together, we make a well church, and together, we make a well community. We have been talking about what it looks like to be this well church, and how do we contribute to the wellness of our families, and how do we contribute to this wellness of a broader community, to our neighborhood, to our immediate families? How do we do that? We have explored the artisan in us, the artistic side of who we are, the athletic and the physical wellness in us. And last week, we talked about the wealth wellness of our communities. And today, we consider that a well church and a well community is one that is mindful and is actively engaging in the community's relational health, how we relate to one another. So not just for the theme of Valentine's Day, not just these romantic relationships, but all of our relationships, how do we relate to one another? I suggest most appropriately in the theme of this weekend that there are four things that we can draw from our passage today from Ephesians, four things that will help us really raise the health quota, if you will, of our relationships. To help us remember this today, there's going to be two things that are happening. Number one, your assignment is to grab a chocolate. There's going to be a little basket coming around, and it's for you to grab a little chocolate, just a little kiss, a little love for you and your taste buds. Mostly this is to make sure that you are awake, so I'm helping you keep your sugar levels up. Yep, and this also helps awaken your endorphins, and happy people want to love, and happy people pay attention, so hopefully you'll remember what we talked about today, okay? But be wary some not to take too many, because then we start regressing on our physical wellness, you know what I mean? We don't want to do that in church. All right, all's good. So number two, we are going to be remember this acronym that's right up here, four letters that we are very familiar with. Can you, what are they? L-O-V-E spells? Love, the language of love. We will be talking about love. And we will talk about four things that Paul is describing to this community for new life in Ephesians. With each other and attending to the most important commandment that we receive, that we love one another. And we are going to be shifting from the good old Nat King Cole singing this tune, L is for the way you look at me. Okay, we're not doing that one today. But I just wanted you to know the difference, okay? We are going to be doing our version of L-O-V-E. And L, let's start with L. L stands for listening to one another. L is for the way you listen to each other. Not so much? Yeah, not so much. That's fine. But when Paul was talking to the people of Ephesians, he was talking to a church that had already accepted Jesus. These folks were in good company. In fact, the community had already surpassed many hurdles in their time. And Gentiles and Jews were finally able to intermingle with each other. And those Gentiles who were now converts, they were adopted into this greater family of believers. But nonetheless, there was conflict among the people. And Paul speaks to the church about putting away these falsehoods, he says, so that we may be able to focus on speaking truth to one another. All too often, we function as if we live in these reality TV shows, right? Or some of you who have maybe are fans of soap operas, Days of Our Lives, anybody? 50 years strong this November. Talk about it. But we function like this, and then we only hear parts of the story. We accept only the cuts of the story that resonate with us, and then we leave the rest out. So our tolerance for allowing others space to process their own story is diminishing. We carry on in what Paul describes as these deceitful desires that leave others outside of this greater story. I think that when this happens more and more within our personal relationships, then we let it leak into the rest of our lives and the rest of the way that we encounter the world and the way that we see the world and others around. One of the things that a few of us learned when we participated in counting the homeless in Riverside a couple weeks back was that every person that we encountered needed to be listened to. The simple act of listening to their stories re-invited them back into the space of the living and the accepted. They were now out of the shadows and seen. Listening requires more than just hearing the sounds of voices beyond the Charlie Brown, right? It's not just sounds, we're not just hearing these things. It requires that we are actually attentive to that which is being communicated to us. When God listens to our stories, you bet that God listens to all of our story and each and every one of our stories. Listening to one another is a gesture of love. When we gesture in this form of love, we are restoring a place for people and their stories, which, as we have spoken before, are in turn our stories. When we experience brokenness too, that we not be trapped in this own burden. So a part of listening to other people's stories is also allowing others to hear our stories and doing life together. Just consuming other people's stories is one thing, but also allowing for other people to be a part of your story is this act of L, listening to each other. So L is for the way we listen to one another. O stands for offering forgiveness. The Greek for forgiveness, charisomai, occurs 19 times in the New Testament. Forgiveness, as it is translated from the Greek, suggests that this is an action word. It's a verb, right? In which a person graciously restores one another. The root word being charis means grace. It's just like charis. That only comes from God, the creator of all things. So we receive this grace from God. And when we extend forgiveness, we are then extending from one sacred vessel to another the spirit of salvation, that which is grace. When Paul speaks to the people of anger, he says, be angry, fine. Feel what you feel, because you will feel what you are feeling anyway, right? It's what you do afterwards with the way that you feel that really changes the picture for those of us who call ourselves believers of this Christ Jesus. Because Jesus has bestowed grace on us, we are to give that same grace out to people in our midst, seeking to restore ourselves to one another. Anger isn't the trouble. It's not a sin to be angry. It's also not a sin to be disappointed or to harbor fear or resentment. Rather, sin is that which creates distance between us, creation, and God, Creator. Paul validates the human nature to feel, which is a vulnerable state. We all can admit that. But Paul suggests that the more powerful of the two points and of these two options is to restore the place where God abides in us, within the spaces of two people, within the spaces of community. Unforgiveness is not something that we create. It doesn't actually exist. Forgiveness is like light, right? When we are in the light, we see God's good creation with clarity. But in the absence of light, that we call darkness, there is only that darkness where God's good creation sits in dimness and it remains stunted. Unforgiveness functions this way. It's limited, our functionality in God's goodness. Paul says, remember who you are. Remember grace and offer grace. O is for the way that we offer grace in forgiveness to one another. V. V stands for vindicate goodness. Vindicate means to advocate, to represent, to seek. Vindicate goodness. A few weeks ago, Pastor Chris reminded us that we are created to be good. Authors of The Physical Nature of a Christian Life, a book that your pastoral staff has been reading, speaks on the power of imitation, especially the influence that parents have on their children. What parents act on, their children will watch, and then they follow suit. They mimic. They call this the mimic theory. French literary critic René Girard suggests there has developed a sense of rivalry, though, amongst people. Girard suggests that rivalry is not necessarily something that is not good, but we are really good at escalating rivalry to the point that we have forgotten the original reason for which we will rivalring, and then rivalry becomes the center point of everything. So, what's love got to do with it, you ask? Paul speaks to the opportunity to find what is good in the midst of what we have tendencies to rival over. To the people in Ephesians, Paul reminds them, be less skeptical and find more opportunities to see the good in people, to see the good in each other. In a media-saturated world, we lose the personal connection to one another, and our skepticism, it grows, and it's heightened in the way that deteriorates society, that creates tension in each and every one of our relationships. Paul says, don't make room for what is evil. In one translation, he says, go on to say, let him who stole something steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands for what is good, so that we may have something, so that he may have something to give to those who are in need around him. And Paul continues, let no corrupt words process out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. God has made what is good. Why not be imitators of what is good, seeking what is good? Authors, the same authors of this physical nature of Christian life, they conclude this paragraph on imitation. Personal imitation is deeply social and an interpersonal process. We are social creatures who are significantly interdependent and not autonomous in our behaviors or our goals or our desires as we typically imagine that we are. We absorb ways of acting and thinking and valuing from one another. Thus, the process towards personal growth becomes a person of wisdom and virtue is strongly influenced by the people around you, the people that we call community. And we form each other through reciprocal imitation. Why not imitate what is good? Why not seek the opportunity to live in the good creation that God created and leave that skepticism to God? So V is for vindicating, to recover, to advocate what is good, vindicating goodness in our communities and in our relationships. And there is always someone watching, and I would imagine that we would want to replicate more goodness, as Paul says. Let's let no one talk evil, or let no evil come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building each other up as there is need, so that your words will be grace to one another and all who hear. And then last but not least, we have E. E is for expressing appreciation. I like to think that Paul is in the business of positive psychology. He says in verse 31, put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving as one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Several articles on this very topic of maintaining healthy relationships have this on their top five. It's the most common thing you can find out there. Appreciate one another, they say. In order to have a great, successful relationship, whether it's romantic, friendship, or whatever, learn to appreciate the people that you're calling friends. The people that you want to be functional with, appreciate them. But don't just appreciate them. Express your appreciation for them. Recognize one another's achievements. We are each dependent in one way or another on the feedback that we get from each other. And this allows for continued self-knowledge, helping us to detect when we are on the right track or when we are straying and we're going down a path that's a little bit unhelpful or less authentic to who we are. That causes lapses in wisdom and or our virtue. From the same authors of The Physical Nature and Christian Life, they say that both types of these miscalculations in life, the best protection that we have are our friendships and our collegiality. Our growth and formation in wisdom and virtue are dependent on the context of the relationships with other persons, whether they're securing loving family when we are young kiddos, or whether we're a few adult mentors during our adolescent times, or whether it's associates, people that we work with or do life with. The right sort of narrative to live by, or a network of compassionate, truthful Christian friends. We are formed not by some disembodied, mystical process out there with no identity, no, but by the life together in a body of persons. Expressing appreciation for what the good potter has made in each of us, these earthen vessels, is but a holy practice, and it imitates the divine. When you express and acknowledge what is good, you are imitating the divine creator. And so our wellness as connected bodies rises, and our health quota, it rises as we attend to our own wellness. We are as sick as our sickest member, we have been saying, and we are as well as our healthiest member. So attending to the wellness of our relationship, well, it may not cure, for some of us, our physical ailments, but that isn't what Paul is asking. That isn't what God is asking of us. That's not even what Jesus is asking us or focusing on. God asks two things above all. Love God and love people. I think these kiddos got it right. A video that I ran into this week. Check this out.
At Central Elementary, Newman, Missouri, the best teachers may just be two students.
Hi, Mr. Daniel.
They are both individuals.
Vincent Butterfield and Zach Gossage are very good friends, and often very silly.
Why does the chicken cross the playground?
Why?
Let's see the other slide.
But recently, there wasn't a lot to laugh about.
It was terrifying.
Last June, after feeling ill and tired for weeks, Zach was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, a fast-growing cancer of the white blood cells.
As a parent, you want to make sure that nothing bad ever happens to your child, and something does, you want to be able to fix it. And I couldn't.
Still, while everybody around him took it hard, Zach took it in stride. Despite frequent trips to the hospital, he almost never missed a day of school.
Because I get to play with Vincent outside of recess.
As for Vincent, he started asking questions and learning about cancer.
It's when your white blood cell and your red blood cell fight.
Then he learned that Zach's treatments were expensive.
We have been making scarves just like that. And he just kind of said it would be cool if we could make a whole bunch of these and sell them.
He sold more than 20, earning a couple of $100s.
You raised $200? That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and who did you give it to?
Vincent also found out that Zach might lose his hair because of the chemotherapy treatments.
I have a dream.
So one day he showed up to Mrs. Kester's first grade class wearing a stocking cap.
And he said, Mrs. Kester, I have a surprise for Zach. And I said, well, you do? And he said, yes, I do. And he pulls off his stocking cap, and here I see that he shaved his head.
I cut it off.
You cut off your hair?
How long? Yeah. I made Zach feel like she's not the only one without me here.
Come on in.
Zach continues to get treatments and continues to come to school every day.
He comes in and you say, how are you? And he says, fine.
And Vincent, well, he may be young, but he's teaching us the oldest lessons.
What is friendship? What is friendship?
A beautiful thing.
Indeed it is.
Hi.
Clearly, wisdom doesn't always come with age.
I guess so.
I really think that these two kiddos got it right. Very, very right. Friendship and relationships, they are a beautiful thing. So love one another, La Sierra, and this world will know you by your love. They will know you by your love. By your love, they will know you. Amen.